It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Guilty as charged. It is a numbers game on a Friday morning. Good Friday morning to you. It's Gil Alexander, as the man said, right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, and of course, iHeartRadio. Lot to get to today. Oh, Jason Kahn is here as well. Hello, Jason. How are you?
Good morning, Gil. How are you?
I don't want to gloss over you. Jason makes it all happen.
I don't feel glossed over.
Okay. Lot to talk about here today, including the Preakness, the second leg of the Triple Crown. We'll do that with Flatter, Fornatale, and Felica. How about that? Ron Flatter, Peter Fornatale, Chris Felica will join us to talk the Preakness momentarily, and maybe some undercard bets, if you will, this weekend. We'll also talk to Ed Stanko and Vinny later, Vinny Maliulo, to close out the show, as always. Mark Borchardt on baseball, Paul Carr on Premier League. There's also a FA Cup as well that he's got to give us a pick on. We'll do that. And I know Chris has, Chris Felica, that is, has hockey picks as well, soccer picks of his own. Did I cover it all? Yeah, loaded show. Before we get to Flatter, Fornatale, and Felica and talk about the Preakness, though, which is obviously a race under a cloud of controversy, we'll update that as well. Real quick, let's do NBA first, because I just want to update. Here we are, the final stretch of games, the final 3 days of the NBA regular season, the truncated 72-game regular season, as you look to the card tonight, because there are 8 games tonight. Just some things you ought to know in terms of motivation. What we learned last night, the only thing that got clinched last night in the NBA beyond what was already clinched, is the Celtics are now locked in to the 7th position in the Eastern Conference. That happened by virtue of the Hornets' loss last night. The Hornets losing last night to the LA Clippers. So Boston is locked into 7. They will play in the 7-8. They will host the 7-8 play-in game. In the West, we learned that San Antonio is now locked into the number 10 position. So they back their way in. They lose last night and lose to the Knicks. So they, though, get there. They still clinch a playoff berth by virtue of Sacramento's loss to Memphis. All right, so we learned the Celtics are 7 in the East. We learned that San Antonio is locked into 10 in the West. As far as tonight's games go, a lot of big spreads. Washington hosts Cleveland. They're 9-point favorites. Washington right now in the 10th spot. They are not mathematically clinched yet because Chicago won last night. So, again, Chicago does have to win their last two games. The Wizards would have to lose their last two games for the Wizards to get knocked out, but it means the Wizards have to play and try to win this, and the Wizards still have a shot at getting to the 8 position, which would mean potentially one play-in game as opposed to potentially 2. All right. Game 2 tonight, Utah-Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City still trying to get to their season win total. Utah still trying to clinch the number 1 seed because Phoenix is breathing down their necks. They're 14.5-point favorites on the road. Orlando at Philly. Philly 13.5-point favorites at home. They're trying to clinch the number 1 seed still in the East. Denver's at Detroit. Denver right now entrenched at number 4 in the West. They could get to 3 still. They're 1 game behind the Clippers. Now, does that matter to them? I don't know. But they're 10-point road favorites. Clippers are at Houston. The Clippers are 12-point favorites. Massive double-digit spreads throughout the NBA tonight. The Clippers, as I mentioned, are in 3rd. They could fall to 4th, as we just mentioned. They also could get up to 2nd if they win out and Phoenix loses their last two games. The Clippers would get the tiebreaker. They would win the Pacific Division, and they would get the number 2 seed. They cannot get to the number 1 seed. 3 more games tonight. Sacramento at Memphis. Memphis, this actually matters for the Grizzlies because right now they're in 9th. Actually, no, it does not. Let me redefine what I was just saying there. So these two games, these last two games, Sacramento at Memphis and New Orleans at Golden State. Let me backtrack on that. Memphis is a, and this is what you have to know for tonight's handicapping. Memphis is a 6-point favorite hosting Sacramento. Golden State is a 2.5-point favorite hosting New Orleans. Neither of those games matter to Memphis or the Warriors. Now you're saying, wait a minute, but both of those teams are trying to get to the 7-8 for a play-in game. Remember, it's Dallas, Portland, and the Lakers in a scrum to avoid 7, but the Warriors and the Grizzlies are in a mano-a-mano to get to 8. But neither of these games matter tonight, even though the Warriors and Grizzlies are tied, because those two teams, the Warriors and Grizzlies, play this weekend, And no matter what happens tonight, that game will be for the tiebreaker. So, again, if one team loses and one team wins tonight, it doesn't matter because the game's Sunday. If the loser tonight beats them, they win the tiebreaker. Gil Alexander, this is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling Game Plus, and, of course, iHeartRadio. So, again, tied now, but it doesn't matter tonight. Only the Grizzlies-Warriors game this weekend will matter on Sunday, which in essence will be a play-in for the play-in. A play-in to try to get to the first play-in of 7-8. The loser would be in the 9-10 and hosting the Spurs. The only other game tonight, Toronto-Dallas. It does matter for Dallas. Dallas holds all tiebreakers right now with Portland and with the Lakers. Right now they're in the fifth spot in the Western Conference, again trying to avoid 7. Dallas in the best position after Portland lost late last night to Phoenix. By the way, Phoenix does it with 2 free throws from Devin Booker with 0.9 left on the clock last night. He was fouled, apparently. It withstood replay. I never really saw the foul. But Phoenix gets it done. Portland loses. So that's the story in the NBA. And again, the big thing to note is, doesn't matter. Memphis and Golden State, no motivation tonight. They could sit all their players. It does not matter. Only the game this weekend matters. Let's shift it to the Preakness, the second leg of the Triple Crown, and let's bring in the promised trio. Ron Flatter from Horse Racing Nation in Louisville, Kentucky. Good morning to you, Ron.
Well, I'm actually in Baltimore, you know.
I'm sorry. That's right. Of course you are.
Of course I am. And I'm at Shea IHOP right now, so just, you know.
Oh.
Help with your language.
Adding intrigue. And then do we have Peter? Peter Fortitale? Do we have Peter? Peter Fortitale. Peter, where are you?
Oh, I'm in the Brooklyn bunker, Gil. I didn't make it down to Baltimore this year, so it's a home game for me.
Are those vinyl records behind you, or are those magazines? What are those?
As an old DJ, as an old broke-down DJ like yourself, like myself, you should recognize those right away as old-school LPs, my friend.
I love it. And then, of course, from ESPN's College Game Day Daily Wager, the Stanford Steve of the Bear podcast, it's Chris Felica, the Bear. How you doing, Chris? Chris,
I just wanted to pause. I just wanted to pause and give you a little bit of concern that I wasn't there for a minute. keep you on the edge of your seat.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That's very kind of you. Actually, let's start with you since you did that. Any bets on, before we get to the Preakness itself, the undercard, if you will, either today or tomorrow?
Yeah, I have one today and one tomorrow that I like. And you being a movie buff, I'm sure we'll appreciate the horse that I like today in the 11th race, the Hilltop Stakes, the number one horse, Tracy Flick. I'm going to vote for her. There you go. You like that?
Tracy Flick is an election reference, right?
Absolutely.
I love that.
They're very good, But this horse, I think a lot of bettors are going to look at her past performances and notice that she's still technically a maiden who was running in a stakes race. She's trained by Shug McGahee, ridden by Joel Rosario. She was disqualified from first in her debut, which she won at 3-1 as the favorite. Then in her second race, she had another winning effort, just got beaten by a nose. However, it was disqualified and placed seventh behind a horse that she interfered with at the start. So this is her third career start. Technically, she has not won a race, but I think if you're looking at this race with favorite being the number 5 horse, Bubbles on Ice, I think this is a spot where you can potentially look for a little bit of value and maybe get a little bit better than that 6-1 morning line, being that I think people will just overlook her, seeing she's made it. There's no way that she can't win this race, but I think this is a very talented, classy homebred by Joseph Allen, and I think she has a big shot today at 6-1.
Okay, and then tomorrow?
Tomorrow, the race before the Preakness is another turf race. I believe it's called the Dinner Party right now. And the favorite in there is the number 5 horse, Sacred Life. And Sacred Life is a horse who is trained by Chad Brown. And the horse is really whatsoever. The horse is really pace contingent on there being a very fast pace in this race. And I just don't see it. I think the one horse, I'm like a hot brown, will obviously go to the front. And I'm not sure who else is going to go to the front. Maybe the other Chad Brown horse will go to the front. Maybe Flying Scotsman. But I like the horse on the outside, the number 8 horse, Bye-Bye Melvin, ridden by John Velasquez and trained by Graham Motion. This horse was just beaten by Midnight Tea Time in his first start off of a a long layoff, should be close to the pace and kind of like that first stalking group. And I think he's going to get the jump on Sacred Life. And at that morning line of 10 to 1, hopefully we'll get something close to that. That's another play that I will be making tomorrow. So bye-bye Melvin tomorrow in the dinner party prior to the Preakness. And then Tracy Flick, the one horse in the Hilltop today.
Love Tracy Flick. That's awesome. Peter, same question for you. Anything before the Preakness?
Yeah, let's start with one today. I like that crisp model there. We're going to talk about race number 13 tonight, the Black Eyed Susan. This will be 5:44 Eastern. And I like Army Wife in this spot. This one comes out of a race that's shown good form in New York. She had a lot of trouble in there, stopped for run at a crucial stage. Like the jockey switch to Rosario in the pace scenario today, I think Army Wife can go well at a big price in the Black Eyed Susan. And moving on to tomorrow, I concur with the idea that Bye Bye Melvin is a good one to keep on side in the race before the Preakness. I'll go the race before that, and we'll talk about the Maryland Sprint Stakes. For a pick three, let's use two runners in there to get things kicked off. The two, Yodel E.A. Who, a fancifully named runner that I think should get a good pace scenario, and Strike Power, who I think just might be the fastest horse in there. We'll start with the 2-5 in the middle leg of our pick three. We'll use Bye Bye Melvin and that one that Chris wasn't so sold on, Sacred Life, and then we'll talk about the Preakness in a bit.
All right, Flatterman, for you, anything?
Yeah, and I haven't had a lot of time to handicap this thing because I've been a little busy with Baffert Gate this week. But other than that, scrambling here and looking, and the Maryland Sprint intrigues me as well. But I'm going to go a different direction and go with Breezy Gus, thinking that that horse can be out on the lead for Danny Velasquez. Joel Rosario will be riding. Had a 3-race winning streak snapped last time out, but I'm thinking a little bit of local knowledge at the track from the part of the trainer. And just that the way the weather's been here, it's been so beautiful. I mean, I don't know if there's enough water to water the track because it's been so nice here. There was supposedly a threat of rain earlier in the week, didn't come. Supposedly it was going to be a threat of rain tomorrow. Now that's out of the forecast. So I'm thinking the dirt will be fast and the turf will be firm. And I think that can play into the feet, as it were, a Breezy Gust in the Maryland Sprint working on the main track there. At Pimlico.
All right, Ron. So obviously we had both you and Peter on earlier this week to talk about the fallout from the Kentucky Derby and all the controversy surrounding Medina Spirit being administered beyond the allowed dose of the anti-inflammatory betamethasone. Medina Spirit, though, running in the Preakness from the number 3 post position, a 10-horse field. Bob Baffert's other horse, Concert Tour, from the number 10 position. Both are the short shots at the Preakness. First of all, Ron, what happened ultimately to allow Medina Spirit to run in this?
We're still now that ultimately, but we're at the point where now you're innocent until proven guilty. He had 3 drug tests, and the first one came back negative. Clean test. So in theory, if you presume that in a split sample case that one of them came back dirty, that the other one will, presume that these second 2 tests on Medina Spirit and Concert Tour and Beautiful Gift today in the Black Eyed Susan, well, if they were clean for the first test, you got to figure that they weren't going to be giving them anything that's going to make them dirty for the second 2. And so by 3:30 today or something like that, Eastern time, we're supposed to hear the results of those other tests, and we're anticipating they're going to be clean. So that being the case, making that presumption, I like Concert Tour. Now, I've revised my picks a little bit because I've been resigned to thinking that, okay, I was liking some Chad Brown horses. So as the arc of the week has gone on, I thought, no, I'm going to go to a Baffert, but I'm going to go to the better Baffert. I think Concert Tour is the better horse than Medina Spirit. Had he run in the Kentucky Derby, I think he would have either done better than Medina Spirit or created a speed duel that would have changed the race entirely. Also, if Rock Your World had gotten out of the gate, that would have changed the race entirely. But with a 10-horse field, I think it's going to be a cleaner break for everybody. And I like Concert Tour to get the lead out on the outside with Mike Smith, his new jockey, and to keep it much the way the Medina Spirit did in the Derby.
Chris.
And what Concert Tour does in terms of tactics is an amazing, it's a $1 million question. The only way Concert Tour is relevant in this race is if he goes to the front. But if he goes to the front, then he is completely making Medina Spirit, the Derby winner, vulnerable by potentially pressing him into the ground. I don't think Concert Tour can pass horses. I think this horse needs the front, and I think Medina Spirit's going to be on the front. I think Midnight Bourbon is a horse with the jockey change to Orlando Ortiz. The only two wins he has in his lifetime are both gate-to-wire type of runs. I may not be right about anything tomorrow, but the one thing I know I'm going to be right about is Midnight Bourbon's going to be on the lead. So I don't think it's going to be an easy trip at all for Medina Spirit, and I think a horse coming from off the pace is potentially the winner here.
But unwilling to commit to that horse.
Oh no! I wasn't sure if you wanted my pick.
Yeah.
We're gonna wait. But
yeah, let's get your pick.
I made the four horse crowded trade my top pick in the race for Chad Brown and Javier Castellanos. The horse that was unraced at two, won his debut earlier this year, like a good thing. Was favored in the Gotham. Kind of got stuck on a quirky, weird surface at Aqueduct, where it looked like he was a winner, and then the bias kicked in, and he ran second, just beaten. Was 3-1 in the wood, had a terrible, terrible trip. Chad Brown and Javier Castellano have done business before, along with Claire Rich Stables, winning this race in 2017 with Cloud Computing. And remember, don't be afraid to use price horses to win or run second in this race. If you go back over the last 8 years, every single year there has been a horse double-digit odds in the exacta, first or second. And over that span of the 24 horses that have run in the trifecta, you've had 13 of them that were at least 9-1. So this is a race where prices hit the board because people overbet horses that may have had a bad trip in the Derby or something like that. They see something that happened in the Derby that may cause them to think, oh, this is the Preakness horse now. So don't be just fucked in by that. But a crowded trade at 10-1 in the morning line is my top pick.
All right. And finally, Peter Fornatel from the In the Money Players podcast, wherever podcasts are distributed. Peter, how do you see this?
I see it very similarly to Chris, especially in terms of the pace scenario. I think it's kind of unknowable as to what's going to happen with those two Baffert runners, but I'm sure hoping that Midnight Bourbon does what Chris thinks he's going to do, and that's go straight to the lead. Because I think the way to get interesting about this race is to predict that the pace is going to be very fast and there are horses who are going to be running late. I don't mind getting stuck into a horse at the short end of the odds spectrum if I can see the trip and know the trip and be confident they're going to get that trip. I can't do that here, so I'm going for a price. For me, I think the interesting late runner, while I fully respect Crowded Trade and will be using him as well, but for me, one of the longer shots on the board, Keep Me in Mind, super interesting. Coming out of the Derby, I feel like he was against the flow there. The front runners did very well. He stuck on from the back of the pack, was only beaten 6 lengths, closing well. I think he can run on and get a piece. I'm going to play Keep Me in Mind to hit the board in this year's Preakness. That's really my main idea. And if things break just right, maybe this one can win for us at a very big number.
I think I'm betting Medina Spirit and Concert Tour both and letting the gods beat me. And if I can get, if I'm beat, okay, tip of the cap, but I'm going Baffert and see what happens, because I'm just not going to get beat by a Baffert horse again. Let me just ask all of you, and I'll throw this out, and all of you can chime in. How awkward is this going to be if Medina Spirit wins with a triple crown pending? Ron?
It's going to be interesting if Kentucky could ever find the, you know, message in a bottle to wash ashore on the Ohio River to actually get a test result, because they can get them done here in 8 days. I don't know what's taken so long in Kentucky. But I wonder if they'll sit on it until after the Belmont, if they'll release it immediately. Who knows? I mean, that's just, it's like waiting for the white smoke, right? It will be awkward. And will Bob show up at Belmont? I asked him this earlier this week, and he says, yeah, I think I will. He hasn't shown up here in Baltimore. So now you're going to get a media circus out of it. And if the ruling comes down from Kentucky that they take the number down and then the legal action begins, then, yeah, Katie, bar the door. So, yeah, will it be awkward? Yeah, damn right.
I'm always into a Katie, bar the door reference. We'll bring Ed Stanko and Vinny Maliula later on the show, because they'll chime in on this as well, see what they say. Ed Stanko, the owner of the 2013 Kentucky Oaks winner. Back in the day, Princess of Silmar. So we'll talk to him as well on this. Chris and Peter, How do you feel, Peter? I'll close with you, actually, because we only got 60 seconds here. But how awkward for the sport, and how do you feel about your sport right now?
You can't feel great about it, Gil, and it's a shame, and it's really a no-win situation. Whatever happens in the Preakness this year, this cloud, this black eye is going to stick with us, and it's very, very unfortunate. I mean, I don't have too much more to add at the present time than this. We'll just deal with it one step at a time, but truly a no-win situation. People are going to have choice words, and we look bad no matter what happens.
All right, there it is. Peter Fornatale from the In the Money Players podcast. Thank you, sir. Ron Flatter from Baltimore itself, where hopefully he doesn't end up on the infield at Pimlico with all the shenanigans that happened there. Chris, do me a favor if you could stick around, because I want to talk hockey with you, if you will, because I know you have some hockey thoughts, first round series, and I don't know, maybe a soccer pick. We'll do that next. How about that? Yes?
Let's do that.
All right. Chris Felica standing by. We'll do that. We also have soccer picks from Paul Carr coming up, baseball from Mark Borchard, Vinny, Ed Stanko, and I got some props in the NFL to get to. Will the Texans go 0-17? Will the Chiefs go 17-0? Will the Lions go 0-17? Will the Bucks go 17-0? We got all of that. And comeback player of the year. That slipped through the cracks this week. We'll do that as well. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game with Gil Alexander.
Numbers game proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Off air, I was like, I'm down with MGM, and behind the glass without missing a beat goes, I'm down with them. Was it? I'm down with MGM. Oh, now you know them. She said, that's right. Down with OPP. I botched that. Sorry. The second leg of the Triple Crown is this weekend. Tomorrow, by the way, and First Bet's the perfect place to start your betting action. Sign up now and you'll get analysis and wagering on every race with AI-assisted picks, secure payments, attentive customer service, and a reliable website. And to celebrate the Preakness, First Bet's giving $20 in free bets for all new users who sign up now through May 15th using the promo code VEGAS20. Also, everyone who redeems this $20 free bet offer will receive full access to VSiN subscription products for free from now through the Belmont Stakes, 3 weeks from this weekend. Go to VSiN.com/horses for details. That's VSIN.com/horses and use promo code VEGAS20. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Los Vegas 14. Yo, celebrating my birthday and the 3-year anniversary of PASPA being overturned. This sports betting thing is going to be something. He's paraphrasing my line there on that. Yeah, it's the 3-year anniversary of PASPA being overturned. And again, May 14th, 2018 was the morning that producer number 3, Jorge Mondaca, and I, all that year, all that spring, we had to prepare 2 shows for the mornings where the Supreme Court was going to actually pull the cases they were going to address out of a box. That's how they do it. We're in the 21st century. That's how they do it in the Supreme Court. And May 14th was one of these days we had to plan for 2 shows. And I looked across, and there was Jorge, and he had this look on his face, and it was going down. So 3-year anniversary of PASPA being overturned, sports betting in this country has obviously never been the same. Bruce Dobigan, there's a horse running in the 11th at Pimlico today called Tracy Flick at 6-1. Yeah, Felica was just talking about it. Why horse racing can't do something with this is an indictment of the sport. Hear on that. And finally, John Fitzgibbons, great lineup today on the show. So after the Man City stoppage, time goal, is Paul Carr breaking up with the under in the Chelsea game? Or did he get redeemed by the Arsenal match? Happy Friday. We'll find out from Paul later this hour. Chris Felica stands with us. Chris, you have a soccer play.
I do, but before I get to that, I was going to say, you're talking about the Medina Spear and the great black eye. Could you imagine if Mandaloon were actually running this week.
Yes.
And the assumption is that he's going to get put up to be the official winner of the Derby. Like, you could have, like, two horses running in here, or maybe if they win, could potentially be running for a Triple Crown, but we don't know. Like,
right.
The whole thing is just a complete, like, debacle. I almost wish that would have happened for horse racing sake to just add to the ridiculousness of what goes on in this sport.
Well, you're so right. That would have been so cool, because Mandaloon could have perhaps retroactively won a Triple Crown. By the way, Jason Kahn off air said, what if Medina Spirit finishes last? Imagine that chatter, you know, after.
Yep.
So there's all that.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with Medina Spirit as well. Like, if you like Medina Spirit tomorrow, you're going to get a good price on him, because you and I talk about this all the time, and he, like, people like to bet on what they want to have happen,
right,
as opposed to what will happen. And you got a group of people that either A, want to see this horse lose and want to root against him and won't bet on him, or B, you've got a group of people that think the only reason he won the Derby was because he was juiced out of his mind, and now he's not going to be juiced and he won't win the Preakness. So you're going to get probably 2-1, 5-2 at least, I think, on Medina Spirit tomorrow. So if you like the horse, you're going to be rewarded if he wins. Back to the soccer, though.
Yes.
Back to the soccer, though. I'm going to go Sunday. I'm going to go to La Liga over in Spain. I'm going to go with the under 2.5 at Atletico Madrid Osasuna. Atleti is in a position where they really need probably just 4 points to clinch the La Liga title. They got a 3-goal advantage on Real Madrid, who was in second. And Diego Simeone, they're getting back to their ways of get a goal and just win 1-0, 2-0. Osasuna doesn't score very many goals. Like, the worst thing, they're in that gray area where they're not going to play in the Europa League. They're not going to get relegated. They're kind of just playing out the string. So like, it's a perfect spot for Atleti just to kind of go out and get a goal, win 1-0, win 2-0, and then they face a team that's going to get relegated in the final weekend of the season. So they're in a great spot to just kind of go out there and just make sure they don't allow a goal to lose.
All right, Atletico Madrid under on Sunday. And real quick on hockey, did you have, you know, Andy McNeil, our hockey guy, he doesn't love the first round. He says maybe some value on Boston. What do you like?
Yeah, the one thing that I did like, and Andy is right, I didn't see a bunch either. I like Nashville laying that 260 series price Carolina laying the 260 against Nashville in the series. Look, Tervanen's back for the Hurricanes now. I know Nashville put together that great run to make the playoffs, but if you look at that, there was a lot of Detroit, a lot of Chicago, a lot of Columbus, a lot of Dallas, all non-playoff teams. And I know they did beat Carolina at the end of the regular season in games that meant nothing for the Hurricanes, and they kind of sent Pecorini out with the shutout win in the final regular season game. Carolina's special teams, power play, and penalty kill are among the best in the league. They got such a depth of scorers, whereas Nashville, on the other end, they are not very good in special teams. So in the playoffs, it's a massive thing. So I'm going to lay the 260 series price with the Hurricanes against the Preds.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. We'll come back. Soccer and NFL props next.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
The Preakness is tomorrow, and the Beeson Horse Racing experts are analyzing the horses, jockeys, track conditions, starting positions, and prior race results to find the betting edge. Whether you play the horses every week or maybe do the whole thing where you search for terms like exacta and trifecta maybe once a year, our team is here to get you ready to make your best bet on the Preakness. Visit VEASAN.com/horses to find our full race coverage, special offers from our partners, and picks from horse racing specialists. And we got a bunch of them, including Dave Tooley, Ron Flatter, who was kind enough to just join us, Jeff Siegel, Millie Ball, and Jeremy Plunk. That's VEASAN.com/horses, VEASAN.com/horses. It's Gil Alexander. Some NFL props with all the schedule release. And, man, isn't that interesting? Also for, you know, even for handicapping purposes, that's why we go through the schedule release, to learn about the quirks of each team's schedules, who got the best of it, who got the worst of it. But with all of that, we let some props slip through the cracks, one of which was NFL Comeback Player of the Year, which is available at DraftKings. This obviously should be named after Alex Smith, for goodness sakes. Should be the Alex Smith Comeback Player of the Year Award. Dak Prescott is your short shot at plus 175. I think that is appropriate. What this award really comes down to this year is this awkward assessment of coming back from which injury would mean more to all the voters, to each voter. So Dak Prescott's at plus 175. He, the most high-profile and perhaps gruesome of the injuries. And I only say that because you're handicapping voters here, and that's going to matter. So if Dak Prescott lights it up, well, he should be plus 175. He should be the short shot. Everybody else is 5-1 or longer. Nick Bosa, 5-1. Saquon coming back from his knee injury, he's at 6-1. Christian McCaffrey coming back from his injury, 6-1. But Saquon's injury is going to be deemed worse than Christian McCaffrey's. One, he missed more time. And really, two, he missed more time. That's the only thing that really comes to light with that. More gruesome injury, perhaps. Joe Burrow, 7-1, coming back from a blown-out knee. But now with Joe Burrow, and again, this award is strange, right? It's already a strange award because you don't know what people value in comeback player of the year. But with Joe Burrow, will people say, well, he only played a handful of games as a rookie. He doesn't have the same pedigree and the same years logged as Saquon and even more so than that, Dak. So what would it take for Joe Burrow to get the comeback player of the year? He would have to light it up too, but I just think he would be sort of assessed differently. Carson Wentz, 10-1, coming back from being terrible in Philadelphia post-injury. Sam Darnold, I'm not exactly sure what you'd be coming back from. What are you, coming back from Adam Gase? So I just find it hard to believe that Sam Darnold could win this award. And Derwin James, if you go back to the other list guys, Von Miller and whoever was back there at the bottom, you know, just you wonder with some of these guys, Joe Mixon's going to win this award? No. Other screen on this, because there's a whole bunch more options here on Comeback Player of the Year. And we'll just flash that other screen up real quick, guys. But you wonder, like, Danielle Hunter's not winning this award. Tim Tebow, like, he's coming back from being away. Jameis Winston coming back from having a career and then not having a career. So anyway, I won't belabor this prop, but really this is going, it's a strange year because there's so many injuries at the top of that board, and I think it's appropriately priced. So I would not make a wager here. Jimmy Garoppolo's, you know, is another one there. It's like, but really? What's he really coming back from? That would be a bigger narrative than Dak coming back from something or Saquon coming back from the injuries. The other one, this is more recent now. This is also available at DraftKings. We went through all the schedules. We went through all the nuances. And again, the Carolina Panthers with the best of it this year in terms of, having the most, what's the term we used? The most rest differential, a plus 13-day rest differential for the Carolina Panthers relative to their opponents over the course of the year, tied for the highest rest differential among all team schedules since 2002. That even with, or that knowing though, that there's an extra game this year, but still. So that's a huge advantage for a team like Carolina. And remember, a team like New England, the Patriots are the only team that play three teams off byes, so they got the worst of it because they get to play three teams that are well-rested. But these made it through to DraftKings. You know, the notion of 0-17 or 17-0. The Texans to have an 0-17 record, 25-1. The Lions to have an 0-17 record. Sorry, Lions fans. 33-1. The Buccaneers, the defending Super Bowl champions, to have a 17-0 record, 66-1. I would never bet that. Nor would I bet the Chiefs to have a 17-0 record at 40-1. Those are way too difficult. But do we have the Texans schedule? Because let's go to that one, because I think that's the one that's viable. 25-1 on the Texans to have an 0-17 record. Would you bet that one? Because I wouldn't bet any of the others.
Yeah.
But can we show the Texans schedule, if you would? Because the Texans opening game, if you remember, they are a home dog to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And by the way, the Jaguars have taken money, right? That's gone from 1.5 to 2 and even 2.5 in some places. And if you look at that Texans schedule, where's the win? Maybe week 1, home against Jacksonville. Because other than that, there's a home game against the Jets week 12, and there's the road game, obviously, against the division opponent Jaguars week 15. That's the list, period. I don't see another possible win there, at least as we view this schedule in May. Now, the question becomes, if you're down with that logic and you're like, oh, well, I agree with you, Gil, there's only really three opportunities, Should I bet this now or should I bet this after week one? We talked about this a little on Primetime Action last night with Matt Brown and Kelly Bidlin. Danielle was off last night. She's a little under the weather. Hope she's okay. Hope she can be back with us tonight. But the question becomes, would you bet this now or would you wait till after week one? Well, obviously, if they win, there is no prop to bet and you will have been the better for it. But if you feel like that's the only game they could really, that's their best shot at a win, week one home against Jacksonville, first year quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, first year head coach in Urban Meyer coming to your town, do you wait? You have to ask yourself, how far would it drop from 25-1 just after that first loss? And I would imagine it would drop fairly significantly from 25-1 to, we thought, maybe 18-1 after week one. Maybe you prefer to take that strategy. Maybe you'd rather take the 18-1 after clearing that home game against Jacksonville. Remember when we did this with the Jets last year? Will the Jets go winless? The Jets dropped all the way into minus money. They became a favorite to go 0-17, if you recall. And then, of course, they beat the Rams at home. Don't those of us who know that well, those of us who had the Rams, I should say, in Survivor, know that oh so well last year, late in the season. But that's the interesting one to me. 25-1, Texans winless. And remember, the commissioner has carte blanche to suspend Deshaun Watson no matter how his off-the-field matters are adjudicated in the courts. If they even get to that, the commissioner can still suspend him. We'll come back. Soccer picks, EPL and beyond from Paul Carr next. The Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Bet on more than the final score with one game parlay at BetMGM. You down with MGM? Yeah, you know them. One game parlay is an exciting feature designed to help you make selections within a single game from over 400 bet types, including team and player props. You can make one game parlay bets on upcoming MLS and NBA games. With more sports coming soon, log into your BetMGM account and create the parlay of your dreams before the game starts. New to BetMGM? Sign up today and be on the edge of your seat the entire game. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. In Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789. Skill Alexander, it is a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Great conversation yesterday with Jeff Schwartz, the former NFLer who played for five NFL teams for the better part of a decade, his brother Mitchell, most recently with the Kansas City Chiefs. And we talked about different things with the schedule, like what's a thing and what's not a thing. And it's great talking to a former player about that stuff, because as handicappers, or at least being around handicappers for as long as many of us have been, hearing all these theories when we get to the NFL season, what matters, what doesn't. And I thought it was, you know, there were so many little tidbits. One was, you know, do bad teams get up for prime time games, specifically late in the season, because, well, it's their last chance to be on a national stage to showcase themselves. And he thought that was a bunch of bunk. And I've been waiting 10 years to dispel that. Thought that was one interesting thing. The other one, and this was just, you know, we talked about several things, but one of them had to do specifically with the Miami Dolphins, and we bring in Paul Carr here from the Expected Value podcast, who we don't have the pleasure of seeing today. He's on the road, but Paul, ready to give us some soccer picks. The Dolphins go to the UK to take on Jacksonville, so two Florida teams mm-hmm. travel across the pond to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the teams that go to London have the option of whether or not they want to buy the following week. And the Dolphins said, nah, we're cool. Yeah. We're okay. Give us another game week 7 right after our UK game. You like that?
I was a little, it raised my eyebrows too, I think, like you're saying. And then there was an article, I want to say it was in the Miami Herald, about, and it said they had talked to, you know, Dolphins inside or something. They said they preferred it just because they thought it was easier coming back east to west than it was the other way around. Like, almost easier that way than to go to the West Coast and then come back. So that was their logic, was that coming back that direction, the way the time zones work, it's a little easier to adjust on the short week coming that way. So, I mean, it sounds good. You know, I don't know that there's science one way or the other, at least from a, you know, NFL results perspective, but that at least explained it a little bit to me.
Yeah. Jeff thought it was, he agreed with it. He was like, yeah, it's too early in the season. You know, maybe if it was later, I'm paraphrasing right now, but he thought the extra couple hours of travel was that too much was made of that. Jacksonville, obviously, yeah, with a following.
And it's not, yeah, you're on the East Coast going to London. You know, it's not that bad a flight. You know, I've made the Miami to London trip a couple times. I mean, you know, it's a little longer just because you're going north-south, but those East Coast to London trips really aren't all that different from East Coast to the West Coast in a lot of places.
No, you're right. It's like 7 hours, if I'm not mistaken, so really not that big of a deal. But I thought it was an interesting thing because we haven't seen that in recent years. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, you got to buy after the London game. No, the teams have a choice, and the Dolphins said no thank you to that. All right, so we have the Premier League back in action. But the first thing we got to address here is, because we got a tweet, I read it earlier, and I said, well, Paul Carr will be here personally to answer this. But the tweet was basically, after the Man City stoppage time goal, is Paul Carr breaking up with the under in the Chelsea game?
Somebody else said the same thing. It felt like it was a betrayal.
Yes.
Had this great relationship, Chelsea unders, and then they score and stoppage time to ruin it.
A betrayal.
I'm not breaking up with them yet.
Yeah.
You know, things are starting to get a little bit rocky.
So now let's be clear. Chelsea doesn't play a Premier League game until Tuesday. So we're not talking about that game right now. We're talking about Chelsea in the FA Cup, is this?
Yes. Yeah, this is the FA Cup final. This is the last one. And this even confused me because I just had a crazy week and I'm looking at the schedule. I see Chelsea and Leicester are playing and I know they have a league game on Tuesday. But these same two teams are actually playing in the FA Cup final on Saturday.
Oh, man.
So this is a one-off final. It's the championship game, you know, of a tournament. So I think this will be, you know, I mean, you've seen Chelsea in these knockout games the last few weeks, and they're very cagey. So I expect this to be the same sort of thing, low scoring. You know, finals tend to be that way anyway. So I still like the under here, under 2.5. I got it at -130, I believe.
I will never get used to this whole, they play the FA Cup final on Saturday, same two teams back in their standard league, the Premier League on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like it insults the American sports fan mind. So the answer is you're not breaking up with them. You're playing the under, Chelsea, Leicester City in the FA Cup final, which is tomorrow?
Saturday. Yeah.
Okay.
The under, that's the 90 minutes. That's not if it goes to extra time.
That's right.
90-minute under.
Okay. So let's be clear there. Paul is okay with the betrayal. He lets one slippage. Maybe if it happens again, different story. First time, what is it? What's the exception? Fool me once, you know the expression.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. Premier League itself, though, this weekend, you have a 3-pack. Where are we going first?
Yeah. So we're going Burnley and Leeds, which is tomorrow. I'm playing the over 2.5 at -135. This is a game where neither team has anything to play for. Like, Burnley is safe. Leeds is in the middle of the table. And I just think this is going to be this one's going to get weird. I mean, Leeds tends to play these wide open games anyway. They have the most total expected goals in their games all season. Burnley is generally kind of keeps it tight, but 6 of the last 7 games have had 3 or more goals. Last 2 Leeds games have had 7 goals each. So I just think this one gets weird. You're going to get over 2.5. I'm playing that at -135.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know this anecdotally, but have you ever had a pick involving a Leeds game ever? Seems like the first time.
I feel 1 or 2 this year off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a lot.
All right. Burnley Leeds over 2.5. That is tomorrow. Again, Paul's price -135. Always shop around. Number 2 also tomorrow.
All right. So I'm getting back on the Brighton train, which has not always been kind to me this year, I admit. Their underlying numbers are a lot better than their results have been this season. I like Brighton to win against West Ham. The price I got is +195, maybe around +190. Now, West Ham is technically alive in the top 4 race, but not really because they got to jump several teams. I just think this is a nice price, and I feel like you're getting it because West Ham still has a little bit more to play for. But Brighton is a solid team. They have been all season, and you know, I think they win this 1 in 3 times. So I think the price is good. If you know, in the middle of the season, this I think would be closer to like +160. 170, plus 160, something like that for a Brighton win. I like this price they're getting here. Brighton's been playing well lately, and I think they can win this one against West Ham.
I like that one. Plus 195. Brighton clear of relegation, one would assume here. Yep. But playing well, and you like the price at plus 195 against West Ham.
Yeah.
And then finally on Sunday.
Yeah, so this is Liverpool at West Brom. So Liverpool is making this late push to get in the top four. And this is basically a must-win game at West Brom for them. So I think, I mean, we saw yesterday they played Manchester United and came out and just pushed the whole game. They beat them 4-2. They didn't let up. So I think we see more of the same here. West Brom's been relegated already. They stink. I like Liverpool minus a goal and a half here. At minus 140, West Brom, I mean, they haven't been good against the top five teams, especially this year. Liverpool's going to push. They're not going to mess around with this game because they have to get the 3 points. So I like them minus a goal and a half at minus 140 here.
Okay, so let's clarify what we're talking about with Liverpool and the motivation, because at the beginning of the show, we were going through all the NBA motivation, getting into the postseason and seeding, all that stuff. All right, so there's either three or two games left in the Premier League season, depending on what team we're talking about. In the case of Liverpool, there's three more games, but they're in fifth place. Man City's winning this thing. They're winning the Premier League.
They've won it. It's
right.
over.
It's over. But Man U, Leicester City, Chelsea, and Liverpool, the 2 through 5 teams, it's really, what is it? It's four teams competing for,
Spot. Yeah, Manchester United's clinched the top four spots, so they get in Champions League next year. So the other three teams are all very tight, and just because of, like, Chelsea has to play Leicester in the league next week, so that helps Liverpool. You look at the projections, they're all in the between 60 and 70% to get one of these three spots. So it's kind of wide open. That's why Liverpool has to win this game. You're playing the worst team in the league. I think they blow them out.
And the booby prize, if you finish fifth, the reason people are trying to get into these teams are trying to get in the top four is you don't qualify for the Champions League, correct?
Correct. Yeah, you go to Europa League. There's also a chance we get really weird. Like Chelsea could finish fifth. They could win Champions League and beat Man City in the final and qualify that way. And they get five teams in, but. I mean, you can't count on that, obviously. So, yeah, fifth place is it's the booby prize. You go to Europa League, which is less money, less glamour. You're playing in stranger spots in Eastern Europe and stuff like that on Thursdays. So, yes, the top teams don't want to finish this.
I'm not going to drill down on what you just said about the roundabout way Chelsea can get in there because my head's going to explode.
All right.
There's just too many. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just the short version is, the Champions League winner qualifies for the next season automatically. But, 95% of the time, that winner is also qualified through the league.
Gotcha.
So it usually doesn't matter, but once in a while it does. It happened with, I think, Liverpool a few years back.
By the way, that was one of those.
Might have been Chelsea in 2012 or something.
I literally just said gotcha to you, and it was half I actually understood, and the other half was I'm not sure I want to understand kind of thing.
Just nod your head and smile. Just go with it.
No, that was a fine explanation. I'm being facetious. Yeah. All right, so here are Paul Carr. By the way, you can follow Paul on Twitter, at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R. The name of the podcast is the Expected Value Podcast, wherever podcasts are distributed. Here are his picks for the weekend. In the Premier League, specifically, tomorrow, Burnley, over 2.5 goals in their game. Minus 135, again, is his price. Shop around. Brighton, although 17th and just outside of relegation in the Premier League, they're playing well, and at plus 195, he likes them against West Ham. And then on Sunday, Liverpool giving the goal and a half against West Brom. And we just discussed Liverpool's motivation. They want to get from 5 at least to 4 here in the remaining few games of the Premier League season. And then the Chelsea under. Wow, that's the big one tomorrow. The FA Cup. Chelsea under, everybody. Yeah. 2.5 goals in that one. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it, as always.
All right. Thanks, Gil. Have a good one.
Safe travels to Paul. Didn't get to see him today, but we wish him well on the road. Okay, we'll come back. Mark Borchardt, baseball plays of the day. Full slate on a Friday. And, of course, we'll drill down some modeling rabbit holes, that's for sure. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.